This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. If you follow the news in Maryland, you've been hearing about budget cuts. Not just since last week when Governor Hogan presented his budget the day after he was inaugurated, but 3 weeks ago when outgoing Democratic Governor O'Malley shepherded a set of budget cuts through the Board of Public Works to take effect immediately. This morning, we're looking in depth at one particular area, mental health. About 160,000 adults and children in Maryland use public mental health services, a number that's increased by more than half in the last decade, especially with the advent of Obamacare, which requires most health insurance plans to cover mental health and substance use disorder services. Here in the studio with me is Lori Doyle, Public Policy Director for the Community Behavioral Health Association of Maryland. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And joining us by phone from Annapolis is the new chair of the Public Health Subcommittee of the House Health and Government Operations Committee, Delegate Jocelyn Pena-Melnick of Prince George's and Anne Arundel Counties. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Delegate Pena-Melnick, you and your predecessor, former Delegate Jim Hubbard of Prince George's County, wrote an op-ed in the Baltimore Sun last week complaining that the state is balancing its budget, quote, on the backs of the mentally ill, close quote. What did you mean?
Well, Sheila, you know, the need for behavioral health services in Maryland has steadily increased. Available funding has not kept pace. In the past 19 years, for instance, the rate for these services has increased only 6 times, and this year increase was cut in half by the Board of Public Works. And one result of this is that mental health care providers have faced higher turnover rates. These are, you know, the people that give the direct care to our loved ones, you know, cannot get a pay increase. A lot of them get paid like $10, an hour or less sometimes. So making access to services more difficult for this population.
Lori Doyle, what impact are you expecting from these budget cuts?
This is a devastating set of cuts. When we get our rates set by the state, we have to pay all of our associated costs with providing the service through those rates. So it's not only the staff salaries, things like contributions towards staff health insurance, and those things are skyrocketing, rents, fuel costs, implementation of electronic health records, which are obscenely expensive and, again, required. We have to eke all of those out of our rates. So when the rate stays flat or is cut, it compromises our ability to do any of those things, and particularly around staff salaries, as the delegate was saying. We have had a long history of no rate increases. We thought we were getting a 4% rate increase effective January 1, so many of us providers went and gave a small, modest, but needed rate increase for our staff, only to find out now that the money's been taken away. We've already given those increases. We can't take them back. We wouldn't want to take them back. So we're faced with how we're going to balance our budget, and that probably means program closures, layoffs, and other undesirable outcomes.
And tell me who these workers are that we're looking to a raise and not getting it.
These are direct care staff who are the backbone of our organizations. These are the people who go in and provide face-to-face services, help people manage their medications, make sure they're taking the medications, the right ones at the right time, help people get to their doctor appointments, help them get housing. We will see people in their own homes. We will see people under a bridge if it's necessary. So whatever it takes, these are the direct line people. These are the ones who intervene when someone is decompensating, maybe suicidal, maybe feeling aggressive. It is the direct line staff who first notice that and make sure that an intervention is taken to avoid a problem.
Delegate Pena-Melnick, is the root of the problem the decision to cut reimbursement for providers in the Medicaid program, or are there other cuts that affect mental health in addition to the Medicaid cuts?
Well, you know, Sheila, the problem goes beyond Medicaid. The 2% reduction in state agency spending will almost certainly be felt to some degree by Medicare recipients, and reductions in state spending for Medicaid will by necessity affect our federal matching funds, and the full effect of these cuts in state agency spending cannot be measured until each agency determines where its 2% cut will come from. And for example, you know, some of the cuts that were made was basically the cuts for this budget cuts the rate for behavioral health administration providers to FY 2014 levels. And these cuts are devastating. Like the rate was cut for psychiatric treatment as well.
Yeah, I think that one of the major issues for us is not only our direct line staff were cut. We were hit 3 times, basically, 2 by outgoing Governor O'Malley and once by the incoming Governor Hogan. not only the 4% to 2% for our direct line staff, but the evaluation and management codes, the E&M codes. Those are the codes that our psychiatrists bill when you go in for an office visit. And they were cut from 100% of Medicare to 87%, so it was a 13% cut. We are already having a hard time attracting and retaining psychiatrists and psychiatric nurse practitioners, our prescribers. We're competing with hospital systems, with the VA, with much better resourced organizations. And our outpatient clinics where these psychiatrists and nurse practitioners work are the MASH units of the public mental health system. These are where people go when they're a danger to self or others, when they are in desperate need of medication, and we are having a hard time staffing them.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Lori Doyle, with the Professional Association of Community Behavioral Health Providers, and with Democratic Delegate Jocelyn Pelnia-Melnick, Chair of the Public Health Subcommittee in the Maryland House. We're talking about budget cuts to Medicaid and mental health services. Delegate Pelnia-Melnick, you and Delegate Hubbard were writing particularly about the cuts that Governor O'Malley proposed during his last weeks in office. How does the budget proposed by Governor Hogan last week affect the picture?
You know, the budget, this budget, has a lot of cuts, Sheila, to what we call essential services, which are education cuts, health care cuts, cuts to state workforce. For example, I represent Prince George's County and Anne Arundel counties. Those two counties, Prince George's County is expected under this budget. And again, everything is up for negotiation. He proposes it and we have to negotiate. But the cuts, as they are reflected now, we're going to lose something like $38 million. In Anne Arundel County, almost $12 million. And for example, the University of Maryland system, which we have for the last 8 years capped tuition, they're basically going to increase it this year by 20% under this budget, the way it is, you know, proposed presently. And the state workforce, state employees, will get a cut of 2%. You know, that means less pay for every state police officer, correction officer, every security guard in state buildings. So this is a cut, a budget that does not reflect well on essential services.
And I should say, we did try to reach Governor Hogan's budget team, and we hadn't connected by the time of this interview, and we hope to have that conversation. But you said we're going to negotiate, Delegate Pelnia-Melnick. It's not quite clear to me what tools the Democratic legislature has to negotiate with Governor Hogan, since, as I understand it, you cannot add money back to his budget. You could only cut further. Or do I misunderstand the dynamic?
No, we have a constitutional requirement to pass a balanced budget each year. And after he introduces the budget, we can reduce or restrict the money in the budget. And we have conversations with him. Okay, we can talk to him, and we can sort of educate him on the different departments, okay? He has a new administration, so he will be able to show him what the impact will be on this budget and how it affects, you know, the people that we represent. And I think that it's, you know, there will most certainly be a spirited debate about the budget this year, as there is every year with the deficit that we have. But, you know, we're here to talk, and we are talking, and I'm hopeful that we can work it out by the time we adjourn on April 14th, because we have a constitutional requirement to pass a balanced budget.
MedCHI, Maryland's Medical Society, argued about the cuts early in January in at the Board of Public Works that reducing Medicaid reimbursements would end up costing the state more money. Lori Doyle, how does that look to you?
Well, I absolutely agree with them. I mean, on a couple levels, as the delegate has pointed out, first off, you're giving up 50% federal match, so you're leaving federal dollars on the table. But secondly, it's the cost of not providing community care. So when the clinics are full and you can't get an appointment and you can't get your meds, or if you can't get housing and you're in a state of distress, well, you don't, you know, miraculously get cured, you go to the emergency department or you go for an inpatient stay. And the costs associated with that go up exponentially. All of the data show that both for Medicare and Medicaid, individuals with behavioral health conditions, the outcomes are lousy. Health outcomes are bad. The ED utilization is high. Utilization is high. Inpatient utilization is high. And the health outcomes are worse. So until we get a handle on providing care in the community, the costs associated with this population are going to continue to go up.
And, you know, we don't know the full impact yet. I mean, we're just reviewing it. But, for example, this budget cuts health coverage for pregnant women making $22,000 per year. Okay? These are real people with real needs and problems. And we're, you know, we're here to take care of them.
And I will keep in touch with you as this develops. I really appreciate your talking to us. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Delegate Jocelyn Peña-Melnick, a Democrat, chairs the Public Health Subcommittee of the House Health and Government Operations Committee. Lori Doyle is the Public Policy Director for the Community Behavioral Health Association of Maryland. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Also there, a link to a new report about mental health services covered by private insurance. The Parity Project of the Mental Health Association of Maryland checked all the psychiatrists listed in the networks of the qualified health plans being sold on the state's insurance exchange. It found less than half the listed psychiatrists were reachable, and only 1 in 7 was accepting new patients and available for an appointment within 45 days. For a link to the report, go to wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. After the news, an adaptation of a parody of a soap opera. On stage. Sure. Stay with us on 88.1.